You're listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, where you get valuable information you just can't find anywhere else. To thrive in today's trying times, you need the Financial Survival Network, now more than ever. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and get your free newsletter and gift. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.
And welcome. You are listening to watching the Financial Survival Network. I'm Carrie Lutz, your host. Well, metals prices getting slammed today. Gold, silver down. They were looked like they were heading gold towards 2000. Now it's retreating a bit, but it has had a strong move. Silver is really the story because it was down in the 17s, hit 24 in the 24s. But it's been holding very steady at that $23.50 range, at least until today. Now it's down around $22.75, and this is February 3rd. Well, let's find out from the expert, Andy Schechtman, milesfranklin.com, what is going on with these markets here. Andy, welcome back. It's been a while. What's happening at Miles Franklin here?
You know, it's been a crazy ride, to say the least. And yeah, the volatility that we're seeing today, it's so short-sighted. You know, the payroll numbers come out and they slam it. It's overt. It reeks of desperation. And it is the antithesis of the demand that we're seeing, whether it be on the retail side of things or all the way up the food chain to the massive deliveries coming off of COMEX, backdooring out of the ETFs. And heck, the LME just told us that if the deliveries continue the way they did in 2022, the London Metals Exchange will be out of silver in 2023. It's a 140-year-old exchange who's telling you that the supplies are that tight. So I think the real issue is that gold and silver speak to the fragility of the system. And gold and silver are not commodities, as some would like you to believe. Gold and silver are the barometer for the health of the dollar and the U.S. economy. And I think it says a lot about their desperation when they put out their numbers that are massaged, to say the least, by the Bureau of Labor Statistics and have to hammer gold and silver to make their point. It's short term. I don't think it means anything whatsoever. And again, you know, look at silver, a 200 million ounce shortfall in 2022 between supply and demand, an increase in the uses for silver in green and industrial applications, and yet it gets hammered in this way, is not only short-sighted, but it is also a contrived, manipulative market that at some point will break free based upon supply-demand fundamentals. And while these types of drive-by shootings are aggravating and annoying, they're done for effect as much as anything, and to rattle and to create a perception of reality that makes people look the other way. And at the same time, the biggest money in the world is scooping up physical possession of metal at record levels at subsidized prices. So while it's annoying, it doesn't derail me whatsoever, Terry.
Hey, and let's not forget, central bank buying is at near all-time highs. That's a major factor. You know, I want to run a conspiracy theory by you. It's not mine. I'm not going to take claim for it. But somebody on one of my YouTube videos said that cryptos were created by the government, by the whomever is running things, really, to drain money away from precious metals and make them appear less valuable than they actually are. Just your personal opinion. You don't have to endorse it or not.
It seems, you know, I read a white paper, and there are a lot of people who believe that that was written by the NSA, that there were two graduate students who came up with the idea. I read it a long time ago. Wouldn't surprise me one bit at all. And what's the one asset that every central bank owns? It's not cryptocurrency, it's gold. And, you know, go all the way back to the London Gold Pool. This is an asset that speaks to, it's the antithesis of the system. And so they have every vested interest in the world, if you will, to kind of kill the canary in the mine shaft. But if you look to your point, the most gold accumulated by central banks since 1955, the second most on record, At the same time, you can see endorsements, so to speak. A week ago, report by the International Monetary Fund, that's it's like almost 200 countries from around the world, comes out and says gold as international reserves, a barbarous relic no more. So you have the IMF talking about gold. The central banks are buying gold. You have the most gold deliveries off of COMEX and the LME. I mean, everyone talks about the number of deliveries off of silver. On a percentage basis, there was almost twice as much gold delivered off of COMEX last year than there was on than there was silver. And you can look at things like Bank of America, who just came out with a report saying that gold is ESG compliant, this new woke standard that has been written into the ERISA laws, where they're saying it's not a threat to the climate or to the ecosystem. So if gold is good by Bank of America, you see the rumblings of the new Shanghai Corporation Organization. In fact, very good sources are pointing to the fact that they're going to issue a gold-backed trade currency for the Eurasian continent. You talk about the BRICS countries. They're going to peg their new system to their new reserve currency to commodities. Obviously, gold has a large portion of that. And you see Turkey, who just joined the BRICS, be the largest producer or purchaser of gold in 2022. And everywhere you look, you're seeing the big money accumulating gold and speaking to its legitimacy. You don't see in the mainstream, you have to look closely. But at the same time, this price smash, at the same time that they have the open market committee meeting and the payroll numbers come out, again, it just reeks of desperation, and it's kind of like a Hail Mary. I think it's a subsidy. And doesn't derail me or my thoughts one bit whatsoever. I've been through this exercise too many times to count. I think the only way you can successfully manipulate a market over a really extended period of time is to push it in the direction that it is going. And it has been held back for a long time because gold and silver weren't the focus. That's changing globally. And it's a dangerous game to be on the short side of metals right now, in my opinion.
Right. And if you remember, we talked last year, and one of your contacts said that cryptos were going to be crashed in November. And it was a little later than that. And I'm one of my sources as well, who I put some confidence in, also made a similar statement. And it actually came to pass.
Yeah. That was when it was $65,000 a token. And they were saying it's going to collapse. Everyone thought I was crazy. And, you know, who knows? Maybe it comes back with a vengeance. I don't know. It's not for me. I'm not a crypto basher. I'm not a Bitcoin basher. But, you know, you've never seen gold fall by 85%. And I just think that it's not fair to make a comparison to the two, to call it digital gold. It's not a store of value whatsoever. It's a speculative investment. And I think that's been proven, certainly. So while it certainly has probably taken away attention from the precious metals market, I don't equate it to even being a distant third cousin to gold, other than the fact it's painted gold and made to look like it's gold. It is not digital gold. It's digital speculation. And, you know, there's room for speculation in people's portfolios. I just choose not to own any Bitcoin.
About if we say that all cryptos that glitter are not necessarily gold, but what about a gold-backed crypto? You think that's in the offing? I mean, many have tried it, hasn't caught on yet.
Don't just survive, thrive. The Financial Survival Network.
Goldterra Resource Corp is a gold exploration company that has assembled a highly prospective district-scale land position on the doorstep of the city of Yellowknife in Canada's Northwest Territories. Goldterra is currently focused on expanding and delineating gold resources at the company's Yellowknife City Gold Project, with a goal of discovering over 5 million ounces. With ready access to infrastructure and multiple high-grade gold discoveries, Goldterra is on track to re-establishing Yellowknife as one of the premier gold mining districts in Canada. Goldterra trades as YGT in Toronto and YGTFF on the OTC. For more information, go to goldterracorp.com. That's goldterracorp.com.
This is the Financial Survival Network, the information you need to thrive now more than ever.
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, we're involved in something called the Tradewinds Ball Chain Program, and that's now defunct, but My bigger question with that would be, who's holding it? Who's auditing it? You know, you can have a great distributed ledger. You can have all of the bells and whistles that make it look official. But where is the gold being held? Who's auditing it? Who's shipping it? Who's safeguarding it? Those are the important pieces as well. So yes, it's back to something. Yes, it's the immutability of the data is there, but you can have all the data in the world and the metal can still be stolen. So who's vaulting it? Who's validating it? And I think that's really the biggest issue regarding the gold stablecoin. Can you take possession for it? Then, you know, I think convertible currencies invert, whether it be a gold-backed U.S. dollar, Charles de Gaulle proved that from France, or what if it's a gold-backed crypto? I think you'll see that it will be bled down. People will take possession of the gold if that is something you're allowed to do. And then again, who's holding it? In what form? How do they ship it? There's a lot of questions that would need to be answered. But in theory, yeah, it has. I could see that having utility.
All right. So your call for 2023, where do you think we'll wind up with gold and silver by the end of the year? I mean, I'm asking you to put
I think that we're going to, independent of my feelings on petrodollar, the BRICS nations, and all of the stuff that I've been talking about, if you just look at the veracity or if you look at the speed in which they've raised rates, and even though their raising of rates hasn't done, it's been pussyfooting at best, if you ask me, because if they're really trying to conquer inflation, they would have first risen the rates above the level of the CPI, which is a lie in and of itself, and then they would have brought up the reserve requirements with the banks. But even still, the rate at which they've gone up is record. You don't see this. In fact, if you look at previous rate hikings, they're more of a 45-degree angle, and this is more almost straight up and down.
Parabolic.
And so I think, yeah, by spring, because it takes, there's a lag time of, you know, 90 to 120 days before that filters its way through the system. And I think by spring, by early summer, you will really start to see the effects of these rate hikes in relation to the cost of money, the ability for corporations to no longer repurchase their shares as easily. There's a lot of things, maintaining and servicing existing debt that's variable. There are a lot of things that I think will filter its way through the system and put strain on traditional assets by the second and into the third quarter, which should, I think, open people's eyes even more to alternatives. And there are very few alternatives right now, in particular, coming from a world where asset prices have been blown sky high over the last few years, all but precious metals. Not only is it an alternative that is fair value, but it's an alternative that has been front-run by the biggest money in the world over the last 2 years, taking possession, using price suppression as cover. I think there will come an awakening by the mainstream when their portfolios have another cratering. There's this hope of a soft landing. I don't think it will happen. And when you talk about 2022, where you had the S&P down over 20% and the 10-year treasury, worst year ever, down 16%, another year of this will start to open up people's eyes to alternatives, the mainstream. Because look, the people you and I talk to, Gary, represent but 0.5% of all of the assets in the United States. And, you know, from Joe Sixpack to the Harvard Endowment Fund, precious metals represent less than 0.5% allocation. And if that changes to just 5%, that's a tenfold increase in demand. I think we're not too far away from something like that if we continue to see what I believe is coming down the pipe.
All right.
Higher than, I put it to you that way.
All right. I'm inclined to agree with you. I think it'll happen. It's just a question of when, and nobody can really predict that with any accuracy because the whole system's built upon confidence. That's the one thing. Gold has nothing to do with confidence. Yeah, it's market gyrations, whatever, market price, up, down, that's chipping away. But the true confidence in the metal is always going to be there. Hey, Andy, we got to wrap up, but I wanted to kind of touch base with you because we hadn't done it yet for the year.
I do, and it's always good to see you. And just one last point in relation to confidence. In a world of counterparty risk that seems to be accentuated, where valuation is based upon the counterparty's ability to perform, you know, gold and silver are the only assets that don't have counterparty liability. They are not someone else's liability is what they are. And they represent pure wealth free from that type of counterparty risk. So I appreciate being here, Kerry. It's always good to see you. Always happy to come back on. And if people want any information on metals, have them send us an email at info@MilesFranklin. Mention the Financial Survival Network. We'll make sure your listeners get the best price in the country and personal attention. And let's circle back and do it again. It's always nice to see you.
All right. We'll talk to you in about 6 weeks or so. Hey, I just want to add my 2 cents to that, that Miles Franklin's the only place where I get metal from. Haven't bought any lately. I probably should. And we'll see how this little downturn hits. But it's the only one that I subscribe to, the only people that I really trust. We used to say once upon a time, when you buy, they ship. I think that's going to come into play again. There's a lot of game playing out there in the industry, and you are the only ones that are actually bonded and licensed by the state of Minnesota. Every other company dropped them like a hot potato. So that in itself should tell you something, because the state of the politics in that state, if there was one glimmer that you weren't doing what you were supposed to do, they would come and shut you down in a nanosecond.
That's why no one works in the state of Minnesota, almost everyone. That's right. It's the licensing, the bonding, the background checks, continuing education. It holds us to a higher standard. So while I can see why other companies would run from that, just because it's onerous, it is, we use it as a perch to stand up on a higher, held to a higher standard. And so thank you for saying that, and thank you for having me, and let's do it again in 6 weeks. I'll look forward to it. Put it on the calendar.
You got it, man. And hey, you got a question for Andy or myself, you can always shoot me an email, kl@kerrylutz.com. Don't forget, go to the website, financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Get your newsletter, your free newsletter, sign up for it. I try to do it weekly. Sometimes it's bi-weekly, but we always get it out. And you'll hear Andy's latest interview. You'll be able to click through there. Andy, be well, and we'll talk to you again real soon, man.
Kerry, it's always good to see you. I look forward to it.
Thanks for listening to Kerry Lutz's Financial Survival Network, your solution to today's trying times. For the latest, go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.